Hello.
Hello.
Here we are again.
Yes.
I am Sky. I am Fly. From the ATL where the players dwell.
Mm-hmm.
Currently living in the California hot as hell. It need to be cold because we're going to San Diego next week. Anyway, are we who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills, VA, all day, two up, two down, chilling in LA, where the weather still doesn't know what it wants to do. But yeah, I'm good.
And who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
And so today we have another guest. Well, we had the same guest.
He was good last time we brought him back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The repeat, back to back, repeat performance. Hello. Good evening. Also coming from Los Angeles, though it's a lot colder on my side.
Yeah.
I don't know about the hot California. We got the cold.
It was fucking hot. It was not supposed to be as warm as it was today. I mean, it doesn't have like a humidity situation, but it was warmer than it was supposed to be.
It's definitely not snowing. Like it is in some places.
Chicago,
some places got that
snowing.
First snow going on.
Hey man, it's like 40-50 degrees.
Like babies out here trick or treating in the snow.
But yes, if you don't know, it's me, Treb Tracy, managing editor over at Angels on Parade. Back again to talk NWSL and some wildness happening at press conferences. But we'll get to that.
So what are we gonna talk? We're gonna talk about this international situation. Where the U.S. Women's National Team appeared in two games. One game in which we did a watch-along. Another game in which Sills went in person and we watched it. And then, are we going to preview these playoffs for real this time? And then...
We can.
I mean, did we do it last episode? I don't know if we did it. I don't care. But whatever. And then, rant about a variety of things, including a situation at a press conference. And we're going to do some hits and roasts and then some raves and be done.
Okay.
In an episode that's not going to be 50 million minutes.
Okay.
Try. Yeah.
And so the U.S. Women's National Team played Colombia.
Yes.
In Sandy Springs, Utah. I'm not Sandy Springs.
Just Sandy, dang. Look at Sandy Springs.
Sandy Springs, Atlanta. Just playing. Sandy Springs, Utah. And they played them. I don't know. And so, what had happened? What was the scoreline? It was one.
The first game was 0-0.
No, 0-0. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Very and much then, forgettable.
And then they flew to San Diego.
San Diego, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they played, and then the U.S. Women's National Team beat Colombia 3-0.
3-0. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
How do we start this conversation?
In game one. We can talk about game one, but there's also not a ton to talk about.
Okay, look. In game one, it was the same old, same old. It's like Twyla dropped out the same Vlacko situation.
Yeah.
Unleashed it on the beast. And it was just with the same players doing the same shit. And so it was 90 minutes of watching Colombia like fill, you know, U.S. Women's National Team out, not really kind of really trying to attack. And the U.S. Women's National Team do the same shit they did at the World Cup Olympics.
Yep.
And be on the struggle bus.
I mean, Colombia made a decision pretty early on to just kind of hunker down and play defense, even though they don't have to, right? Like, they're an attacking team. But with the understanding that they're also missing some of their key offensive players. And so I think maybe this window, they didn't want to do too much, didn't want people to get hurt. For them, it's a friendly. And they seem to treat it more like that early, especially in the first game that we did. And just try some things. Linda Caicedo played in the first match.
Yeah, she did.
She did not play in the second. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But she, you know, obviously was a threat. I think the U.S. was always kind of looking for her. Obviously we could possess the ball, but in the final third, we just didn't have a whole lot.
Yes.
There's no bite. There's no bite.
you had a lot of crossing happening, but individuals were not running up the middle to the crossing or arriving in the box.
Well, the person running on to get headers for us until the second game in the second half has been Lindsey Horan, who is playing in a deeper midfield role. She's not part of the double pivot anymore because I believe that match we start her and I gotta look at it.
Sonnet.
It her and Sonnet.
And
who's the other midfielder?
No. And it was Sullivan. So I imagine Sonnet, Sullivan, double pivot, and Horan pushed up a little. But I don't think she was able to be creative just because none of our strikers are really pulling that back line of Colombia out. And so they could clog that middle. There was no way to get through the middle to do anything besides run and gun and cross and pray. And it looked like it. Like, it looked a lot like that. Having said that, we did have a goal scoring opportunity in that game.
We had three. We had a couple. We had a few.
We had a penalty.
Yes.
Opportunity,
yes.
Which I still think the penalty's a little soft on Colombia, considering how that game was going.
Right. Right.
But it is letter of the law. Yes, it's a penalty. On Lynn Williams, who was one of the few people who Colombia hit us, and she's like, okay, I hit back. it was really, I think, just annoying Colombia. She was down for that kind of game. But Alex Morgan ends up taking the penalty. It hits off the post. And did she try to hit the rebound?
I don't know. No, she got mad. She kicked it.
But that's what I'm saying. She can't be the first person to kick the rebound. I think that's what the whistle was.
No,
she hit the post, but if it comes back to you, the person who takes the penalty cannot be the first person.
No, it had already crossed out, but whatever. She kicked the ball out of bounds. Like, she got mad and kicked it out.
Okay.
So, it was over. Because when it bounced off, it went out of bounds and came back in. And then she just booted it back out. And that probably was the whistle. But she was mad. But all that to say, there was a lot of crossing and kicking and central, and people wasn't getting to it. Trinity cooked people up. Lynn cooked people up. But it was madly disjointed. Linda was burning up and down, was cooking. Was that Emily Fox getting toasted into little crispy bits?
Yeah, in the first half. I think in the second half, Colombia settled a bit, and it was just utterly boring. Like,
It was boring soccer, 0-0. Trying to think any other mystifications.
Jaden Shaw did get her first cap. In the first game, she got her first
cap. In the first game, she appeared. But that was the important difference, like, going into the second game was what didn't happen in the first match was a group of individuals did not play.
Right. Yeah, okay, yeah. So we did the same.
She only got like a couple minutes, but I'm just trying to acknowledge like that was her first cap.
So I guess let's go to the second game. So second game, they roll out a weird lineup that's like, okay.
Mostly the same.
But it was very much the same. It was just like a 4-2-3-1?
It was the same formation, and the only changes they made was Murphy and goal.
Yes.
Sophia Smith started up top, and Samantha DeMello started in the midfield with Sonnet and Horan.
Yeah.
Everything else was the same. Very similar to the lineups we've been rolling out for the past several years.
Wait, before we go there, Casey Kruger served a beautiful cross, and it was like, why you didn't play her earlier? Anyway, continue on.
Oh, that should have gone in the last game. That deserved a goal in the first game. Sorry. Yeah, I know exactly which cross you're talking about.
Before we get to the second game, there were things. So there were substitutions made late in the second half of the first game that made no sense. Like, just sub them earlier. What are we doing? It was already boring. Just put the people in. Mm-hmm. And then you saw Casey Kruger was like, okay, so she should be on the national team and playing. Particularly since you don't want to play MA, Midge. You just brought them here for decoration. But yeah, she had a phenomenal cross that, again, nobody got to the end of. But go ahead. On the second game. Yes.
So that was the lineup for the second game. Like I said, it kicked off around 2:30 in San Diego, and it got shady where I was sitting just in time. it was hot on the field, and they took hydration breaks, but I don't think it was unbearably hot. But you could tell early in this game some of the strategy, right? I think DeMelo plays in that midfield differently, right? She was able to draw some fouls. She wasn't necessarily breaking lines, but she was making different choices in terms of how she was trying to move the ball in to out back in. She got over some set pieces, and she's definitely one of our best set piece takers, if not our best set piece taker. So I guess part of the U.S. strategy was to try to do it that way. Whereas Colombia's strategy, as I mentioned before, they did not have Linda Caicedo at all. She didn't dress. My assumption is she went back home.
She went to Ballon d'Or.
Oh, that's right. She had the Ballon d'Or. That's why. Dang, I forgot about that. But yeah, so she obviously she wasn't there. So Colombia's strategy was very much similar to what they did in the second half of the first game, which was we're just going to put our bodies on them. Like, there were a lot of fouls in this game. I think it was like 28 for Colombia, 20 for us, 21 for us, something like that. So it was beyond chippy. And I don't think the ref had a particularly good grasp of the game, though she called a lot of fouls. And there was some movement that was better, right? Like, I could see from my seat that we were definitely pushing Fox up and having Sonnet try to drop back to cover the space that Fox was leaving because I'm assuming they're saying Fox is the better attacker in that scenario. But again, we couldn't really work it through the middle. I said we had some good possessions. Trini Rodman was being Trini Rodman. But we just couldn't finish chances. And I think I saw on Attacking Third earlier, so to shout out, I want to give credit where credit's due. I think Darian Jenkins said every forward was making the same run.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, that's what I saw from up top. Like, there wasn't any dynamism in that lineup. Like, there wasn't anybody to just do something different. Make a different choice, make a different run, hold back, to be able to read the rhythm of the game. It's like they're so focused on the job that they forgot they are soccer players. And that you are allowed to be creative, and that you are allowed to think outside of the box, and you are allowed to play freely. And that just wasn't there. And it was hot. And I was like, I don't really want to be sitting here when it's hot and y'all gonna play like this. So that was pretty much the first half. It really was. But Colombia was never really a threat. I would argue they had more of a threat in the second half when the game opened up. But yeah. I'm done. Y'all good.
Wait, what? So go to the second half.
Right. You know,
I don't know what
the most important part of the game. Like,
okay. I don't know if y'all had more to say. Okay.
I mean, it was boring on TV. It was, what the fuck is this shit?
No, yeah, you were the one. Yeah, you were the one in the stands. We want to hear what it was like. I didn't know.
Trying not to monopolize the whole thing. Okay, so then we go to the second half. I think I made a comment. I was like, this game could probably use, like, me official or Jade Shaw or someone. And lo and behold, second half, there were exactly two subs to start the half. Jaden Shaw and Mia Fishel came into the game for Alex Morgan and Sophia Smith. So that meant Shaw was going to play up top. And I think many people would argue Shaw's probably a better 10, but it works, I think, in this situation. And then obviously we see the results. Immediately, it looks different. Like, immediately. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, everybody sat up a little bit. The first sequence with Shaw and Fishel, who've never played together, that looked miles better, right? The reason I wanted Fishel is because I'm like, we just need somebody to hold up the ball at this point. Like, hold the ball up, take the contact. And she does that better than most, right? She's an incredibly strong player and also a very smart one. And that interchange between her and Shaw, and even Rodman, who... Again, I can't prove it. I swear she was making that run down the sideline, looked up, saw those two, and I swear she smiled. Like, I just don't think she's had joy like that in a while. But they were cooking at that point. And then one just missed, right? Like, there was that run through the middle, like, Shaw lays it off to Fishel, and Fishel hits it over the bar.
Yeah.
So I think she was a little upset that she missed the shot that she probably should have made. But came back, like, 2 minutes later, off of a lovely pass from Sonnet, who, okay, I'm going to say it this way. This is the best Emily Sonnet has played in that position. I think the more chaotic a game is, the better she is. Hmm. Every game ain't going to be chaotic. And before y'all jump on my behind, she plays for my team. I watch her more than you.
Come on now.
She is a good player. Do I think that she is the six that's going to carry us through the next cycle? No.
Absolutely not.
And I don't think she should be. That's not her mm-hmm. best position.
Not at all.
But I think in the second half, as the game opened up, that fit her just fine. Right? Like, she was also able to move in those spaces because one person could stay back, right? Whether it was her, whoever. You had Nate and Alana. They had the middle. Like, it wasn't an issue. Almost like they could have been paired. Never mind. it was fine. But yeah, you had that freedom. And so Sonnet lays off a nice cross, and Mia Official goes and heads it. And to the people who were like, anybody would have headed that in, the cross was good. When?
When? Right.
When have we hit headers? When's the last time we did that? It matters who the nine is. Mia Official is a nine.
Mm-hmm.
Capital N, capital I, capital N, capital E. Just her ability to hold up the ball. She did nothing else in that match. Her ability to hold up the ball and get those passes off, to absorb the contact. Let me tell you something. Columbia was able to hit most of our players in the mouth at some point in these two games. They didn't hit me Official.
Right.
They tried. Didn't go the way they thought it was going to go.
Yeah. Didn't I get hurt?
Mm-hmm. They was bouncing off of her. Like, they stopped real quick. Like, they were like, oh, no. That one's different. Oh, okay. And then, of course, that frees up Shaw, who was playing up wider. And Rodman was having a blast, but was also very tired because she had played, I believe, 90 last game, has she not?
Yeah, she played 90 and then played.
Yeah, so she was getting tired. She was going
tired. On 180 minutes.
Yeah, she had a lot of minutes logged, especially between
plus the travel.
Travel in this month and between last month. Playoffs, all of it, right?
Yeah.
So she needed a blow. And so part of why we're so frustrated is because you can do mean things like bring Alyssa Thompson off the bench.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that girl was salivating to get on that pitch because she saw Jaden and me and she was like, oh, I want to have fun. And did. Like, came into that game cooking.
Funny how that
like,
works.
Like, just came into that game like a live wire. She is the perfect super sub. Like, she is. She's going to give you 110. She's one of the fastest players in the world. She's very good dribbling. She, I think that year, this year in the NWSL has at least taught her, like, okay, it's time to pick your head up. Everything doesn't have to be super perfect. But that pass she got to Shaw was lovely. Like, that was lovely. Right? And it even freed it up so Emily Fox could run for it because that's something people want her to do. And she got the assist. Listen, I know her heart. Listen. I think Haran's a good player. I think she's a player you have to build around. Right? And I don't think the U.S. has ever really done that. And I don't think that's fair to her. And I think she wants to score goals. That was a good goal. She ripped that. I made a noise. I was like, oh. I wasn't familiar. I'm sorry. And I thought she really stepped up and also played with a lot of joy, considering like she's the captain, and I think that's a lot for her. And I don't always think she looks comfortable. I thought that's the freest I had seen her play for country in a long time in that second half.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing that young players make older players look younger. Funny how that works. Yeah. They add years to your career if you do it right. But yeah, I mean, it was very, very evident that injection of youth, and we actually played Sam Coffey.
Ooh, she exists?
Didn't know.
Ashley Sanchez existed too?
And I know. Mm-hmm. I was like, we just playing everybody.
I mean, they emptied the bench pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, Twyla was like, oh, this is my last day? Oh, okay. And I know she said later that was kind of the plan, but I'm also like, why wasn't that the plan for the other three games?
I think that would have been the best. Like, when Linda was on the pitch.
You literally ain't going to have his job in a month, man. I'm like, just let it fly. But yeah, it was the best half of football I've seen from the U.S. in a long time. By no means do I think just bringing in the kids solves our problem.
Nope, it don't.
But at least it ain't boring.
Right.
And it solves some of them. The Official and Jaden Shaw solve some of your problems.
Yes.
Consistently. And they should maybe play more. I think they earned it. If it's about meritocracy, I think they earned it.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are we gonna have a conversation?
Oh, about. Okay, so
well, I was say, about... is it about meritocracy? That yeah, is a good segue.
That is a good segue because for, because okay. I mean, the running theme after the first game is how are you throwing out these lineups with the same thing, and players aren't performing well. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't be starting every game if the ball ain't going in the net, and that's supposed to be what you're doing, or is mm-hmm. not looking good. So if we are meritocracy, age, whether you got a cane because you're old or you're young and you got a baby bottle, if you can ball, you should get the call. Shout out to Dion. If you ball, you should get the call to be able to be on the pitch. And it shouldn't be this thing of where you got a spot and then maybe eventually somebody else gets on. Don't have to be the days of that nonsense. Because, again, this needs to be a meritocracy. Because, again, I think I was irritated when I was like, so we can ball. This is what we thought it would look like. Why the fuck did we have to endure that shit at the World Cup? Or the Olympics? Right. Why are we watching bad football when we are this stacked from a talent perspective? Like, bruh, like, and then you didn't even play Mitch Parson freaking M.A. Vignola.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Yeah.
Like, you
against,
had, like,
against a team that's, like, physical, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are two players that actually would have played, and one of them isn't playing. Like, they're off, well, right?
They're off.
I would have played a lot of the players who were off.
Like, and didn't so have why?
Game next weekend. Mm-hmm. Alana Cook and Naomi Garment both played 90, and they both play each other next week.
Right.
Like that.
For why?
Okay.
Exactly why. When you have the depth you and know, talent to scout for the future, for the.
Right. Sonnet Olympics played 90. I don't love it. I'm glad Huerta didn't play all that much, and I'm sure glad Roosevelt did not get called in. But like, and Huerta done died like twice already and got back up. Like, I'm sorry, I'm very anxious.
But you're playing an opponent that made it deep into the World Cup. You could have looked at talent. Why would you bring in talent and let them play?
Right. I mean, it's the same problem we have, which is where we continually bring in talent. And I'm not talking about the young talent. Like, I get why Moultrie didn't play. They've kind of developed a system where they bring people in, let them have a window to adjust, and then they play them for the most part. But the others, I'm like, they've played. Like, Midge quite a bit. Like, it's not, they're okay to play some minutes just to see what it looks like for people. I'm trying to be delicate with this because I'm in a good mood today.
Do it. Unleash it.
And I'm older too, right? So I'm coming from a place of like, I get it. But I'm going to say it on my chest. If Alex Morgan wants to go to the Olympics, her role is going to have to change.
Yep.
She cannot start consistently.
Nope.
The minute Mia Fischel came on the pitch, it was different.
Yep.
In the ways that we have been waiting for it to be different. That is not Alex Morgan's fault. The game changed while she was gone. Mm-hmm. And she's done her level best to adapt, right? And in San Diego, when they can build around you, that looks very different than a U.S. team that's building around younger players who play football a very different way from you. And so when I say things that y'all get mad at, like listen to who these young players say they looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the games they admired, the style of play they admired. Very few of them say Alex Morgan, and it's not because she wasn't good. That's not how they want to play football. And that's okay. I think it's harder for our federation, who doesn't quite know what to do with what's coming and has a really hard time of letting go of what's been.
Whoop.
And I get it. Alex Morgan made y'all a lot of money. Alex Morgan has made Alex Morgan a lot of money. But we have to be good at the football now.
Yes.
That World Cup, as somebody who was there, we have to be good at the football now.
Mm-hmm.
And the best answer for the football is not her start.
Yes.
She has been a trooper. She has done what has been asked of her. When this new coach comes in and has to have that conversation, I hope they can both agree to it. If that's what we're doing, if it's an all-out competition for those spots, ooh,
a lot of people going to miss out that.
Because you're still waiting on Swanson. You're still waiting on Macario. Like, and you have young ones coming. Like,
yep.
You don't know what a new coach is going to want or do or who they're going to be looking at. And if it's someone like Laura Harvey, who knows two generations of this system at this point, she going to start picking players we don't even know.
Yep.
And so that's going to add to the pool. It's about, like, if it's truly going to be a competition, it's about to get real nasty. In a good way. I think we need it. I think we've lacked it. But it's time. Like, if it's about meritocracy, show me. And good players are not going to make that Olympic squad because there's only 18 spots. Good players aren't going to make the World Cup because there's only 23 spots. Everybody can't play. But I want us to be serious about looking and scouting and having a plan about how we want to play football, how we want to win games. And she's not the problem. Like, she's not the only problem, but she's also no longer the solution.
Barge.
And I think it's okay to say that. I think it's okay to say that. I think she'd be honest about that. Like, in a real moment, I think she'd say the same thing. I would hope so. I would hope so. And I think motherhood's given her that kind of perspective. I really do. So yeah, I mean, I don't know how else to make it plain. I'm gonna say it with my chest. I know y'all gonna say I'm a hater no matter what, but like, we all watching the same football on this
one. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't lie no more.
Yeah, it's time.
Y'all go ahead. Like, I don't got enough to say about it.
No, I mean, you hit it. I think that's gonna be the big question, is how the Federation handles this transition, mostly because the transition between the last era and now is looking a hell of a lot different than the 99 era to what we just are closing out. You know what I'm saying? Like, the 99 era and the team that we just are kind of phasing out look a lot similar to each other. So I think that transition was a heck of a lot easier for the Federation. Whereas now, like Sil said, they don't know what to do with players like Mia and Sophia and, you know, a lot of the youth coming in. You know, we see it. We see them trying with Thompson, but again, it's like,
they don't know what to do.
They're not resonating with nobody. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how are they handled this transition? Because it's going to be different whether they like it or not. Yeah. And they can either take advantage of it and do the right thing, or try to fight it and continue to shoot themselves in the foot by doing and saying things like they said the other day.
Well, so here's the thing before we get there. I was gonna say, so it's not just gonna be young. It's even bringing in older people they have not brought into the U.S. pool, who actually play like these younger players, and they, oh, by the way, look up to them. So, like a Lynn Williams, she been balling forever, but y'all didn't call her in, and she can hang with these younger players. Mm-hmm. Or when you look at a Sarah Gordon, you should call her in. Because she can handle the speed of the shit that's giving y'all the fits across the world. Or, you know, if you actually play Crystal Dunn as a midfielder, she is one of the best midfielders in the fucking NWSL. So there is no need to put her as a left back, right back, any back that ain't a midfielding back. No, if she's not in the goddamn midfield, we can't even begin to have conversations. Or even if Kristen Hills. Like, Kristen plays like these players. So I was about to say, like,
do you think she gets back into the mix if she's healthy?
It very much would depend on if it's Laura Harvey or not Laura Harvey. I don't think so. Like, at this point,
And Kristen's also, like, if we're honest, she's nearer towards the end of her. Like, I think if she were to join the Federation, it would be like a swan song type thing.
Right, like, go and have your...
I would say for her, it's probably, because you got to keep in mind, she doesn't have the national team wear and tear
No, yeah.
And so if she were to come back herself fully, if she came back herself, I could see her. But she, if she could be herself, she can hang with these people. Like, they play, yeah, they model their game after her. They
it's also if she wants to, right?
Like, it's a lot with
Kristen. It's just like, I think it would very much be for her. I think it would be competition, right? Like, I think Mal's going to have to compete at this point. Like, it is. That, especially that position. Like, that left-wing position. Like, I think Weaver's probably been good enough to get a look, but that side's too loaded. Like, you just... Right.
But I would even say, though, but you got to keep in mind, if you had a Laura or even a Tony, are they going to just keep them on the left or wing? Because the thing about, like, a Kristen, a Trinity, a Sophia, to a point, various players can play all three positions. So they can switch. So it's not just going to be like, you're just a left winger or you're just a right winger.
Yeah.
So and that's the thing where Alex Morgan is only played as a nine. She can't naturally just go play on a wing like that. Where that's the other thing, that's the reckoning that the Federation has to have. You got all this dynamic ass talent that's coming in waves, that's young and old, that is not looking like what you used to. It is a complete abrupt change from what was with 1999, the 99ers, and what has been
into the early thousands.
Let's keep it a buck. This shit has existed, but y'all was running systems and keeping people and players on the team at the expense of other players. Like, Crystal Dunn is a whole ass fucking midfielder having to play left back to get on the goddamn team. That's crazy shit when you think about it.
I think for me, I have a few frustrations, right? And I say this with the knowledge that COVID threw a wrench in our plans, but everybody had to live through COVID. Like, that isn't, our federation is the only one that had to do it. So some of that's poor plan. Most of that's poor planning. And oh, by the way, a pandemic. Okay. So one, I think the U.S. Federation sincerely thought they had another cycle. They did not.
They thought these kids weren't coming. To go that way. Yeah.
Well, no, I thought they thought these kids weren't coming as fast. And I'm like, we told you. Like, I don't do you. I don't say shit to say it. We protect a lot of names and a lot of the information that we get. Almost like we do some journalism, even though we're not journalists. I know, but whatever. But like, I don't say things just to say them. And I own my L's. Like, I've had to eat them. The Sonic Crow and the Claudia Tiki Crow in the past like 2 weeks. It is what it is. Everyone ain't a banger, but we write most of the time. We told y'all, you don't have that kind of time. They're too good. And they're only going to get better in that system. But they also need to play free. And U.S. soccer has, for my entire life on the women's side, been about being rigid and conforming.
Right.
It can't be that anymore if we want to win. And the reason we've been rigid and we've conformed and we've carried a certain image is because you had a bunch of white girls and your audience was upper middle class white people. So when we talk about these larger problems, this is why. Because it trickles down to this. And us hindering our ability to be the best version of ourselves. A lack of diversity arbitrarily handicaps your ability to be best. You are therefore not being as competitive as you could be.
Yep.
That's the basis for baseball getting free agency. Go look it up. I'm a student of sports history. This is why I don't just say stuff. Nothing's new. So I think that's one. Like, that is the deep frustration. And two, just like over the past 4 years, I think my biggest question has been, do we scout?
Well,
like, I'm being really sincere.
I don't even want to say Are we going to get into the next part? Because I feel like that bleeds into the next part.
Yeah, I feel like we don't scout. I feel like we have lived this life of luxury where we're just like, it doesn't matter. We'll turn it on. The mentality will out. The investment will out, et cetera, et cetera. No, it won't anymore. It won't. And so we keep holding on to these things that are outdated. And I think soccer is always a microcosm for how the world works and how a country works. It's very much how America works right now. Our federation is a reflection of our country in all the ways. And what's hurting the federation more than anybody is the federation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's just frustrating because it affects over disproportionately Black and brown players. And in that last gasp to keep that image and the thing that sells, you are now naming all the other attributes that nine has. A bunch of other nines had those attributes, did it better, and got benched for it.
Yep.
It messed with people's money. So now it's something that's an attribute. When for the past decade, it hasn't been. That's not what forwards do. Because you are trying to hold on to this thing, this image, this person, by telling me they do these things. When we have playmakers on the bench who do that better.
Yep.
She has a teammate in San Diego that does that better. And she's 19.
Yep.
I don't think, like, Jayden Shaw is, like, should be top 10 Ballon d'Or one day. Like, yep. Her mind is different. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Outside of Kat, I don't know if we got a better one right now. And Kat's not healthy. Like, her mind, we haven't had a player like that. Maybe ever. That's 19. I didn't know she existed. Until San Diego ganked her off of DC. Sorry, DC fans.
You ain't gonna bring that up. Yeah.
That's gonna hurt forever. I'm sorry. Yeah, I ain't deserve that.
Punching air right now.
I would be ill. I would want to fight the entire San Diego front office.
Because her and Trinity would be cooking.
Trinity, oh my God. Sorry. I just had a moment.
Y'all would have made the playoffs this year.
You'll get to see country.
Oh, come on. That one.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't do that.
I'm sorry. That was bad, Sky.
She's been a revelation this year. Like, I'm genuinely offended she wasn't the MVP, another MVP candidate. Like, I would have taken to me, y'all.
Yeah, she should have been on the MVP. She should have been on MVP finalist. Yeah.
So, but you have that, right? And then you have Mia, who I think people who genuinely watch the sport have been clamoring for a very long time.
Yup.
As I tweeted in all caps, we have been in poverty, and for what?
For no fucking reason, man.
We've been starving when there has been a full refrigerator.
Just straight cutting the nose to spite the face. That's what y'all been doing.
So, those are my frustrations. That's probably a good segue.
The audacity of whiteness, man.
Yeah.
Trying to stay white is like going to see. It's hella drug. Because it's really like, we've been telling y'all this shit was coming and everybody looks like us. Whether they're Black or brown, however they identify, mm-hmm. they look like. Or they all the history months, all the heritage months.
All the heritage.
Like, it's literally, they look like us. And so it's coming. And then who they model their games after, even the white players, who they model, ooh. They tell you who they model their games after, Marta.
Chloe Rickard said Marta. I was like, oh, okay, she cooking with different sauce. Yeah. All right.
Like her whole, Chloe Rickard's whole definition of shit was crazy. I was like, man, you're a menace. That's what I like in my soccer players. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like they're coming and they model their games differently. So then how their play is going to be differently. So even we can talk about what they tried to roll out at the World Cup. Even for what you're trying to do, it won't work because how they play is not that. And then two, you can try to stick them in the system. They're still going to get through it. Like I will point back to like Kristen Press. Kristen Press was a unique type of forward in the sense of what that system was when she first came in because she just played differently. And so then she was moved around, benched and shit, but they had to put her on the field because she was creating. So she was coming off the bench at the 15th hour, all that shit, and scoring or assisting and still making it work and making it do what it do. Similar to like you had to figure out how to bring Crystal Dunn in because she was balling. You had her playing her worst position that she's really good at. But, you know, those kind of players still force you to have to do things in a creative system. When you got now a whole system full of these kind of players, you can't try to like force them to be things that they're not. So you have to figure out how to then use their skill sets to go be great in addition to understanding the football. So that is a good conversation in terms of talking about, can you scout? Do y'all understand the football? Do you know what you're looking at? Because if you telling players they need to, I was going to be like, if you telling midfielders they need to be center backs, we got problems.
Yeah, I don't know. We can continue. I have deep frustrations.
But
do you want to win or do you want to be white? Is a very real question. It's not just a catchphrase.
Sounds like they still want to be white, to be honest.
They very much sound like that. Don't yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, we can get into Mia.
Just get into it. Yeah, like at this point. It's what everybody knows is coming.
We're talking about today.
Okay, right? So yeah. So in the press conference, what had happened was you was in the press conference.
Yeah, so I went to the presser. Mm-hmm. I got there quicker than ever, and we went the other way this time. So I'm like, oh, I hope we go that way from now on. But
wait,
yeah,
there's a quicker way to get to the press conference.
Yeah, okay. Didn't know that. Learn that.
Okay.
But anyway, went to the press conference. There wasn't a ton of press in person, believe. I think maybe more had been at Utah.
Wow. Okay.
But about 10 or 12 of us. And we had to wait a while. Obviously, it's a national team game. But yeah, I attended the press conference. And I will tell you, because maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. There were two women covering that, myself and Jackie from Women Kicks Balls. And then I was the only Black person there. Of any gender, which is not my first rodeo,
unfortunately,
but it's always noticeable. Mm-hmm. So we were able to wait for Coach Kilgore, and Aaron Heifetz. I'm saying his name correctly, I hope. Forgive me if I'm not. For the press conference, just to talk about the match, and some good questions were asked. I did not ask questions in the press conference. But one question was asked by a reporter from San Diego who's been covering San Diego soccer, by the way. But asked essentially about Mia Fishel's time at Tigres. Sort of spoke to her statistics and her dominance and then the move to Chelsea and asked why she was essentially asked why she wasn't called in when she was playing at Tigres. The question was directed at Coach Kilgore, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And before Coach Kilgore could answer, Aaron jumped in, and I should probably find the exact quote.
Yeah, find the exact quote so we don't misquote this.
Who has it? I would like to point out, I've tweeted nothing since that about the U.S. national team.
Wait, hold on, here we go. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
I'm about to paste it in.
I appreciate your work. That's probably something I should have done before we record. But that's okay.
Because two balls and a mic.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I was like, I knew they had it. I thought Taylor had it. I was like, I couldn't remember who had it.
Yeah, that's I don't know the person's name.
I think I can find it. Hold on.
But
we just want to make sure we're getting this correct. So I'm gonna
El Chiva 97 on Twitter.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
El Chiva
97 on Twitter. I don't know.
Okay,
the name.
Got it.
But that's the Twitter name.
That's also the reporter that asked the question.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and there's also a video, and US Soccer posted it. Of Coach Kilgore answering the question because she did still answer the question second.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Mia Fishel has been playing at this level the last couple of seasons with Tigres. What took so long for the U.S. national team to take notice of her?
Fair question.
Okay, and again, this question was directed at Kilgore. Before Kilgore could answer, Heifetz replied, before she answers, Mia wasn't playing at this level. She was playing in Tigres and not at a national team level. Okay.
What?
And this is going to I'll paraphrase what Kilgore said because I don't want to go through her whole answer. But it was a good answer. Her answer was much better. She said, yes, she did a great job with them. We also had some other talented players in the mix, so it wasn't the right time for the coaching staff. to try and bring her in. She is starting her journey with Chelsea, and now she's starting a new journey with us. Okay. There's a few things here for me. I am both a Tigers and a Chelsea fan.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the women, because the men piss me off right now. For both of those teams. Just one of those teams.
Yeah.
Mia Fischel has played 3 games for Chelsea. She has scored a goal, the opening goal for Chelsea, in the regular season. This does not include her 2 preseason games, one of which we watched, one of which was behind closed doors. She's been with Chelsea less than 3 months.
Yes.
She played 64 games with Tigres, won a trophy, won a golden boot, and was the top goal scorer in the world for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The version of Mia Fischel we saw Sunday is still a Tigres Mia Fischel.
Yes.
3 months at Chelsea didn't make her that. She was already that.
Yep.
Now, will Chelsea? Absolutely. I have no doubt Chelsea will make her better. I have no doubt playing with Sam Kerr will make her better.
Mm-hmm.
But Chelsea does not get credit for what Brown Folk did.
Come on now, preacher.
Y'all did this mess in the World Cup with Colombia, where y'all were giving European teams all this credit. And then I told y'all 2/3 of that team is domestic. Y'all love giving white Europeans credit for stuff black and brown people in the Americas do. Stop that. Especially if you look like black and brown people in America. Love yourself. The white man's water ain't colder.
Ooh.
As my granddaddy used to say. Oh, that's an old Southern saying.
What does that sound like, old?
Yeah, it's old. Like, that's shit. Early last century.
Almost on my smooth. Oh, shit.
It's real country, too. I'm sorry. It came out of me. But, like, we talked about this earlier, but, like, let's be real. Part of why y'all need legitimate and continued and effective DEI training is because it keeps you from saying stuff like that.
Unwarranted, just like unprovoked, unwarranted. Nobody asked you.
Right.
And like, and just voluntarily, because she was in Liga MX Femenil, that's why.
And I have no personal beef with Aaron Heifetz.
I don't even know the dude.
US comms don't ever call on me when I raise my hand, because they probably know I'm going to ask and they don't really have an answer for it. But I don't take that. It's not personal. Y'all
now you see why they don't call on you, because I mean, gosh, if that's how they answer this question, man.
Yeah, I didn't ask a question in that press conference. And I am as professional as I can be at all times, right? Like, I am old enough where I still value that stuff. Like, I do. And I know the whys of why people don't. That's great. Like, I don't tell people how to, you know, cook their meals on that. But, like, for me, that still matters. I can still hear my mother's voice in my head when I do anything. So I did not ask anything, and I kept my face very stoic. I need y'all to hear this. As the only black person in that room, as y'all were talking about a young black queer woman who chose her own path, a path you did not agree with or like, I felt away. Didn't feel great. People kept making real nervous eye contact with me.
Because they knew what they was hearing was wild as hell. That's why.
So y'all know when it's icky, right? And again, this is not me calling you racist or anything, but you know when it's icky. You know when it's like, ooh, nah, maybe we shouldn't have said that. And then look at the black woman right after.
Yeah, because like, what does that even mean? She wasn't playing to a national team level. I mean, yeah. It's literally, it's the same. Like, you don't suddenly, this isn't FIFA. Like, you don't get a +10 to your attributes, right, because you put on the US kit. Like, that's not, like, it's the same fucking person who trained with Tigres for years. Like, it's the same person who was coached by an incredibly great manager. Like, Emma Hayes is equally great, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she had an Emma Hayes. Some would say probably slightly better than Emma Hayes. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It was just something that, like, when I saw that quote come out, I was just like, there's no shot. But it wasn't surprising, because it's something like the three of us and a lot of us have known this whole time that what they were saying about Mia was bullshit, and that the reason they didn't call her was specifically because she was at Tigres. Like, it's like Sylph said, she's been at Chelsea for 3 days, and suddenly she's everything the Federation wanted and more. Like, nothing's changed. Literally nothing has changed. So
Like, the goal sheets,
Chelsea wanted her.
The goal she scored is literally one of the variations of goals she scored at fucking Tigres.
Pull up a highlight. She scored a million of those.
The run she made during the game are the similar runs she made. How she held up play, all that, she did that at Tigres.
I saw her do that all the time.
Mia scored. What's wild is Mia scored with 40 something crazy ass goals without penalty kicks.
She's not a imagine if she could have.
And she did later do great
PK. I mean, she made them.
Don't need to be when you're scoring 40 goals in the field of play. You don't need to rely on
all kinds of goals. Head, foot, leg, whatever. One side, other side. Like, what the
fuck? She gives us something we haven't had since Abby, and she's better on the ball.
But this is why
Abby with midfield tendencies.
This is why it's hard for me to like agree that the Federation doesn't scout, because like, they knew Mia was in Mexico. They knew where she played. They knew her talent, and specifically waited for her to leave Mexico before giving her the chance. Like, that's not scouting. That's actively holding players hostage for, you know, that's trying to dictate where players go. And like, to some level, I guess I get it, because you're the Federation and you have to back the NWSL. And in the last, you know, 6 years of its existence, Liga MX Femenil is just about equaled you in terms of talent pool, and is definitely surpassed you in terms of excitement on a week to week basis. Like, the excitement levels for Liga MX Femenil are insane. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen it. Anyone who's seen the NWSL team host a Liga MX Femenil team will know that it's just a different atmosphere out there. So again, I'm not trying to like compete with each other, but I'm just saying, like, they need to stop that. You need, if you're going to be successful as a Federation and as a national team, you need to identify your talent and bring it in as soon as you can, because they're going to start messing around like that with some of these dual nationals, and they're not going to have a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to watch some of these players go to, you know, other countries that they can go to, whether it be Mexico or places in Africa or wherever. Like, you know, there's options.
There's about to be 5 U.S. national teams. And we might not be the best one.
Yeah, but one of them going to knock us out of a tournament, and you're going to be upset. The other U.S. women's national team whipped our ass.
Right. Like, I mean, that was true for Jamaica and Nigeria and the Philippines. This World Cup. Mexico ain't even get in. Wait till that's
right. Yeah, they're avoiding Mexico for now, and they're lucky, because Mexico have
If we co-host, then we not avoiding them forever.
Well, they won't be in the Olympics.
No, but they'll be in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, that they'll see them. That's
go look at their roster.
That's gonna there's a lot of American-born players on that roster.
Yeah, they also got young players. They can't even get on that squad.
Nope.
They got more coming too. They got a pipeline now, baby. Like, go look at that Mexico squad. But we not that far.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. The Federation has to get it together, because they can't be letting players like Mia sit for 2, 3, 4 years strictly based on where they're playing. Like, that's insane to me.
You got to look in your heart and try to figure out why holding the status quo is more important than acknowledging what is happening in Mexican women's soccer and in that league. Because Barcelona and Real Madrid seem to get it. Defending champs Barcelona seem to get it.
Yeah, working with the NWSL, that's for sure.
Right, but they don't get it with us. Rayadas beat Portland.
Right.
Like, that happened in Portland Stadium. Like, it isn't, and again, I know it's a friendly, I know it's preseason, I get all of that. But the point is, they're not that far behind, and they started 6 years ago.
Yeah.
2017, right? Yeah. Like, that's really fast.
And they play 2 seasons a year, so it's like an acceleration of growth.
And they have, like, the infrastructure, because they are all directly tied to their men's team.
Because, like, you could even see in Mia's growth. She only played 2 years, and it was, like, four.
Yep. And they don't have a salary cap.
Yep.
Nope.
So, while they're really scared of what Mia did.
Yeah.
Because it worked.
Yep.
And there's going to be more Americans.
Well, that's why they opened up,
that
are going
that way.
That's why NBA so was like, well, we'll let those young kids come in, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to take y'all to court no more. We'll let y'all sign 14, 15-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah, because they saw what Mia did. People notice that, especially young players of color. You know what I'm saying?
The players of color have already, they've already gone down there. And they're playing down there.
There's more black players in that league now than there's ever been.
Like, why would you
risk going to a place
where you're not having support when you can just go overseas?
You can't have that attitude when they have a World Cup. They had a World Cup winner and we didn't.
Yep.
Because Esther did not sign until after.
Yeah.
Like, a World Cup winner played in that league leading up to the World Cup.
Right. And was balling in the World Cup.
Yeah.
What's crazy is actually
Liga Magazine. It is not a young player.
Had multiple players who went and played at the World Cup and their asses went further than the United States. Like, I need y'all to get real about how you were holding standards for leagues.
That league is the second best league in the world. Like, the second best women's league in the world. Let's be honest. It's better than, and I love the WSL, but top to bottom, like, top to bottom, that's a better league than the WSL.
I think the bottom is still an interesting.
But I mean, but they're still developing talent way better than the bottom of the WSL.
Yeah, they are though. Yeah.
That's the key for me.
Because even over the last few years, you've seen the bottom of the table because, like, effectively the league is like, yo, y'all men's teams got to for real invest and give a fuck about y'all women's teams or you can be gone. And so you've seen, like, random ass teams be knocking Tigris upside the forehead. Or Fort Club America. Yeah, I was going to get y'all, all y'all, hey, all the rivals. We was going to roast off. Rayadas, everybody. Like, even the fact that when Jenny Hermosa went to Pachuca, man, Pachuca fucking was in the final.
They made it to the final, right. They made it to the final.
No defense to be seen, but they were scoring balls all over the place with Marta Cox.
Right. And while we can talk about international players on those teams, there are only like four international spots in Mexico. So they're winning with domestic players. This is not with
domestic players, yeah.
I am nuts about Alves and she can't really get on the senior national team right now. And I think she's amazing. Like, I think if Jackie Ovalle's name was like a Basque name, like Ovalle or something, like, she'd be one of the best wingers. She'd be everywhere. She'd be everywhere. But she's Mexican. She can play. But
hell, even when you see Tigres play these different teams, Jackie was out here cooking.
She can play.
Cooking. Period.
That's one of the best wingers in the world.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, y'all got to stop this nonsense of the value in the league because you feeling away. You too can get smacked in the Gold Cup.
Gold Cup's going to be so fun. Once again, plug if y'all would like to sponsor Shea Butter to cover the World Cup.
100%, you know, Mexico heard what was said, and 100%, you know, they're just like, all right.
Bet. And it is one of those things that has unified Liga MX fans for like the past year, right? Like, they're all like, what do you mean?
Because that's
an indictment on all of them. And they're like, well, wait a minute. They got pride. I mean, like,
Angel City fans can thank Liga MX for gifting them, you know, Scarlett Gambero. So it's like, I don't know. It obviously it was a dumb comment because thankfully you look around the moment it hit Twitter, you know what I mean? Everyone was just like,
that ratio.
Yo, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? Old boy had to come back and be like, no, what I meant was actually.
Shout out to God Pals for going to get that answer. They are not in control of what that man says, but you know, they did their due diligence. As somebody who was at that press conference, sure.
That's not what I meant. It's not the same. Okay.
Sure.
You thought you could say that shit and get away with it. Well, welcome to 2023.
And just like,
those are those microaggressions that I just be like,
unprovoked.
Right.
That's the crazy part. Here. He was like, actually, coach, let me step in and put my foot in my mouth.
Let me make your life harder.
Real quick. Yeah. And like, insane. You could because tell.
She had to think. Like, she had
Carla was like, bruh, you did not just do that, bro.
She had an answer, but they had to follow that. She was like, okay.
Even her answer wasn't the greatest, but at least it was the
company line, though.
I guess. It's like something we've heard a million times, so it's whatever. But like following up, followed up, having to follow that up was just crazy.
Yeah, right. It's definitely the company line. US, right now, crazy. U.S. soccer has absolutely decided what their answer to that is going to be. If it were me, I would take the L. Like, sometimes, yeah, for a myriad of reasons, you get it wrong, right? Because, and I understand you're doing this to protect those other players, but you sure as hell ain't going to tell me who them other players were, because we just going to tell you what was your thought process there.
All
right. I have an idea of who the other players were. They not getting called up.
Right.
They're not better. That ain't the first time y'all done that, by the way. But cool. Whatever. I understand you got your pride. But like, on that one, I take the L. It would be good because people would know you are capable of owning a mistake.
I ain't gonna be that dang.
It would help. It would help with trust. Because right now, the truth of the matter is, and I know this is true in football anyway, but there is deep mistrust of this federation and their ability to do anything right now. Y'all seem real lost. I'm sure this is not going to make me friends. Like, y'all never calling on me. That's fine. But, like, we don't trust y'all. I don't really trust what you say. I don't trust your ability to scout talent. And that's staff or player, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't even know if y'all know the problems to fix them. But in the end, first question you start with, always and forever, because shit ain't gonna change. Do you want to win or do you want to be white?
Well, it
always comes back to that.
Yeah, figure it fucking out.
I'm gonna stop drinking this drink. Y'all go ahead.
Wow. So yes. The age old question: what do y'all want to do? Y'all better figure it out. You're gonna be looking real stupid if you in Paris.
Yeah,
my bad. Not even Paris. You're gonna be looking real stupid stateside and what, also Mexico, and during this Gold Cup. Well, no,
in the United States. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be looking real stupid in the Gold Cup because you will have to see Colombia again. Also Japan, and is it also
it's Brazil and Colombia. I don't know if Japan's coming over.
I thought it is. It's a wild teams, man.
We bring some, yeah,
anyway, you're gonna get some motherfuckers in here. Y'all gonna have to figure it on the fuck out.
Yep.
Or get embarrassed in February. And Mexico, probably. So yeah, get ready. Well, not tonight. Well, you know what I'm saying. Get ready. Do you wanna be white? I tried to flip it. Never mind.
I think I know what song you were going with. Okay. We'll try again later. It's fine.
Anywho. So I guess, do we have any more rants? We didn't roast Jamaica Federation.
Speaking of federations.
Yeah.
The players had to sit out.
Yeah. Qualifying?
Yeah.
Because you didn't pay
them. The whole World Cup squad, right? Like, minus Chania because she retired and a few others. But, like,
yeah, they still haven't gotten their money.
Right. The Federation said all payments have been made, and everybody on the internet said, we will believe it when the players show us that check cleared.
And the players were like, no, that shit ain't clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't believe nothing y'all say. Nothing you have done has shown me that you are in service of those players. Not a single thing. Cedella Marley has done that. And y'all didn't keep Lauren. Shout out to the new brother who got the job. I'm sure he's great. But like, Lauren one of the best out there. If the U.S. were smart. Lauren, you know what? Lauren don't want that job. He don't want that job.
We talked about that last time. This job is a very rare job. I don't think a lot of people don't want it. Tony don't want it.
If it was just about the football, a bunch of people would want it. But it ain't just about the football.
But it's not. It's about American politics. Politics. Nobody wants that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just politics. It's American politics. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's that. Well, yeah. When you talk about American, that's what you're talking about.
You're like, we need football, but we need white. Okay, we not winning. Okay, wouldn't have me attached to it.
But no, the Jamaican Federation acting up just as hard. I mean, it's a mid-off between the two federations, right?
Colombia's federation ain't much better. Argentina's is wilding. Like, again, you'd be better off picking the feds that are doing it mostly right.
Well, it's so frustrating. Jamaica, if you would fucking stop acting an ass, y'all could have a whole juggernaut, man.
A squad.
Are you doing?
And a lot of support. Jamaica's like one of those countries that gets a lot of
the whole of that country was behind that team.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, they get the support from home, but I mean, like, they get a lot of the neutral. So, like, in any given competition, you know what I mean? 9 times out of 10, the neutral party is going to be like, oh, Jamaica, yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's root for them. And so it's like, but like, if your federation is ass, people are going to be like, oh, Jamaica, you mean the place that doesn't pay their players or respect them or treat them right? Like, no, why would I support that?
And they usually have fire kids.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why would I want to spend money on them? I don't want to give them money to to not pay the players with?
Yeah.
Fuck?
Yeah. And as I said, they really could have, I mean, they have a, I mean, obviously they went to the knockouts in the World Cup, but like, they have talent. They have
young talent.
Young talent, more coming, and if not the best 9 in the world, certainly one of the 2 or 3.
Yep.
She's definitely up there.
So, like, speaking of 9s that can pass, whew, but, yeah, like, it's just, they're so easy to root for. And their federation is just self-inflicted at this point. But again, that's most federations, right? It's a handful that are kind of doing it the right way. Also, speaking of federations and UEFA, Robiales got 3 years.
Mm-hmm. 3-year ban from all activities. Ban.
Yeah. It probably should have been more.
Not enough. Yeah,
but it's more than I probably expected. So that closes somewhat that chapter. There's still way more work to be done in Spain. I think those relationships are pretty irrevocably damaged all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spanish players are going to continue to ask what's actually changed, and they should. And I continue to be happy that winning got them this platform, and also winning should not have to be what you have to do to get this platform. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, come Jamaica and all the other feds that ain't got their stuff together, get your stuff together.
Yep. Oh, well, I have a rant.
Go on it.
I have to endure. So, again, I need people to understand. There's only 2 teams I actually have support for. Because for my mental health, I can't do more. So when people say, oh, you're Angel City, like, I have season tickets. I live here. So, and 2 of my favorite players play for the team. So there is love. But who I am a fan of, the Atlanta Falcons and the Atlanta Embarrassment Braves. However, we are currently in football season. The quality of the NFL football product has been terrible, horrible this season, as everybody's tanking their life away. But in this case, the Atlanta Falcons have amassed with Terry Fontenot. I think I got his name right. Brother man. Have amassed a team that's actually of quality, where you actually have a defense. Well, until they got hurt last week. You had offensive line that's serviceable. Weapons all over the place. You know, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. But we've had to endure for weeks terrible footballing activities at the quarterback position. Inability to make NFL throws. Inability to not fumble the ball. To the tune of, I think it was 7 fumbles, 5 interceptions. It's something insane. Why for the life of me have we been enduring? Arthur Smith, are you listening? You need to listen. Why have you made us suffer this whole fucking season with this shit? So they played the Titans. At the time, they were 2-5. How many games? Mm-hmm. 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they won. You want to know why they won? Because we were a hot mess in the first half until they finally put in Taylor Heinicke. I can't believe in 2023, I'm looking for Taylor Heinicke to save the Falcon season. Honestly, to save my viewing on Sundays.
That says a lot in and of itself.
Wow.
Why?
I didn't think he was in the league anymore. I didn't know.
And he was balling.
That says a lot.
I know that's bad.
In the league. All
right. Atlanta ain't had it this bad at quarterback since Chris Redmond and fucking Joey Harrington. I said what I said. Mm. Y'all can listen. Y'all don't understand how bad that was. All y'all
Joey
people
Harrington, my God.
Who were too young to remember them days. It was bad. Before Matt Ryan got drafted, it was bad. Yeah. Joey Harrington literally, Ritter might be worse than Harrington.
Dang.
Harrington was missing stuff. He got mad when Matt Ryan got drafted. And I'm like, Matt Ryan can fucking throw the ball to people. What are you doing? It's worse. Ritter can't even make open like throws. It's not as bad as what I saw with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know you might be a Raiders fan. B.I. Ain't you a Raiders fan, Trev?
Yeah, but no? You speaking the truth. I've given up on them several years ago. They are ass. You ain't saying. I didn't want Garoppolo.
Last night was pretty bad. He missed a wide open Devontae Adams twice.
Yes, he's gonna miss more wide opens Devontae Adams. The man's trash. I don't know what you want from me.
But this was worse. Like Ritter can't like make for real like basic NFL throws. But anyway, I just want to know why Arthur Smith, incompetent white men. My bad. Arthur Smith decided to have us sit through this, will not take accountability and has the Falcons Nation endure this bullshit week after week. And we still might win the NFC South because the whole league sucks ass.
So bad.
It's so bad. We still might win the NFC South. Even if we don't win the NFC South, we are still like number 7 or 6 or 5th in the league. We might go to the fucking playoffs because everybody's trying to tank for Caleb Williams or whoever the fuck's coming out or the dude at UNC. Or fucking is Bo Nix coming out for all these other quarterbacks because they ain't got no quarterback.
Well, he should come out after this year. Well,
yeah, he should. He is.
Man got a 401k and kids at this point.
Yeah, is he getting his PhD at Oregon? I'm sorry, but anyway,
because
I forgot he played at Auburn for like four years. Anyway, but I just want us to get away from.
Yeah,
I don't want to suffer like this no more. NFL. Like, I just want to watch. My team can lose. I just want to watch quality football.
I remember, and I'm not necessarily always a fan of his either, but I remember Mark Cuban said it's a diminishing product. Like, he's like, the NFL has saturated as much as it can saturate, and the quality of the product is about to go down, and he isn't wrong. He wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't think it's a good product.
And you have a few good teams. It really isn't. It's terrible.
You have a few good teams, but it's a terrible product.
It's terrible. It's terrible. It's bad football. And then you're playing on third, like it's bad. So I'm just saying, I'm tired of it. Honestly, it could be terrible for Atlanta. Don't sit here and lie to me, white man, and tell me Taylor Heinicke ain't better than Ritter. I can't believe I'm saying this in 2023. The fact that I'm even saying this shit, why must I suffer? Do better. Be better. I'm done.
Why must I cry? Sorry. I totally just remembered that internet song.
I mean, I know you and your terrible towels are doing. I don't even know what the hell y'all doing. Y'all probably going to the playoffs.
I think when I was home with my dad, I sat and watched the game. But like, if I don't have to watch that, why would I? I love myself. Yeah. I only suffer for like 3 teams, and they're all soccer teams at this point.
Really an Atlanta Hawks fan. I will say from a basketball standpoint, I am an Aces fan because. What's good, Trev? I'm an Aces fan. Good. And like women's basketball, that's a totally different situation. But for men's, the Atlanta Hawks suck so bad forever. Oh, yeah, Usher. Shout out to Usher. You're like
women's basketball.
I forgot he was 5'7".
Women's college basketball starts this week, too.
It started,
yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
started, Oklahoma's playing tonight.
Yeah, so shout out. Get into that. Women's college basketball is some of the funnest shit to watch, honestly.
Oh, yeah, shout out to the Aces getting serenaded by the Usher because they're still in their hours.
Live their life. I respect that deeply.
They're living that repeat style.
Yeah.
Yes, Usher. And Usher's doing the Super Bowl. Yes, Usher should.
He is in Las Vegas.
It's the year of Usher. That might be
fun. That might be fun, though.
Not even the year. I feel like it's just the last
Usher 5 months. Usher, man.
No, people was questioning whether Usher got hits. I was like, shut up.
That's crazy.
I have a lot of feelings about how people disrespect, like, musically Usher. But, okay, that's another rant for another day. Okay, I think we got all of our stuff out of our system, Trev. Yes. Any rants?
Nah, I think we're good.
All right.
Okay, so it's good time for the hits and riffs.
That shit was crazy.
Because it is, when you hear this, it'll be November 1st, and it's time for winter. It's time for Christmas Jingle Bell cheers. Actually, I will fully expect Mariah Carey in the next couple of hours, because is the 31st, to let us know it's time for her to make her bag. Actually, she said she got some new shit or something dropping. I'm ready. Mariah, hey girl, if you ever... Anywho, I'm sorry. Be focused. Focus on the focus. It's time for our November winter cheer jingles. Not really. But anyway, what are the songs that put you in the mood for the Christmas cheer? In the Hits and Riffs edition. Maybe I won't go first. Who wants to go?
You can go first. You go first. You're the guest. Guest first.
One song we all have on there, right? Like, I don't want to take the song.
Let's all three do that.
Okay,
let's
so. Do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Who started it?
Okay. You can start it. You can start it.
I don't know. Somebody started? Shit.
It's the Temptations, Silent Night. That is the quintessential for the culture song. Nobody can hit it. Nobody can hit it. It's okay.
I'm not Eddie Kendrick.
It's okay. Nobody can hit it. Everybody tries. If you're saying you don't try, you're lying. It is.
So one of the most two America things is when you say Silent Night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
White people are talking about a very different version than Black people.
Yeah, if I hear Silent Night, I automatically think Temptations.
Automatically do Temptations.
Yeah. There's
in
no
my mind.
Exactly.
It doesn't
right?
feel like Christmas song in my mind.
It is a Christmas song, but it definitely starts off just like a regular. It's almost like they had verses for other songs just lying around, and they're like, we're just going to start this off, and then we're going to get into Silent Night. Yeah. And everybody had a part to play, and they played it so loud.
And played you exactly.
It was
it's
great.
A bop.
So that was all of our picks, including Chuck.
Yeah, that
so,
was definitely one of them.
That was y'all's too. Good.
Yeah. Oh, you said, I thought you said you had it too. Yeah. Anyway. And then for me, the second one, it's not Christmas without a little Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad. Yes. That is, you know, what Mariah Carey is to everybody else. That's like Mariah Carey Ooh. For Latin folks. I was going to say Mexicans, but I think it's more than Mexicans. I think it's all Latin people. For
sure.
Yeah. But like in my house, I'm half Mexican. So like on that side, it is the first song we play. Mm-hmm. And
that's dope.
We'll hear it about a million times, so I love it.
I mean, legitimate.
I get sick of it for sure. I'm not even gonna lie. I think everyone gets sick of it, but I mean, it's just I think that's a lot of Christmas music, right? You love it, but then after 2 weeks of the same 10, 20 songs, you're just like, all right.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. For me, the two others that I have are "Give Love on Christmas Day." Yes, and then my other one is my like sentimental "What the World Can Be" song, which is "Someday at Christmas" by Stevie Wonder.
Okay,
I'm feeling that song in times like these.
Wow. All right, well, it's my turn.
Yes,
some of y'all are having to suffer through it.
Snow. Oh my god.
My boy Simon. We ain't about to get hit with that copyright. But yeah, let us know.
Actually,
Let Us Know. Every time when I used to play it I lived in Atlanta, it was snow or ice. So it used to be a trippy thing.
So you're the responsible for those accidents that time?
I was living in Miami. Pause. Okay. Flag. Now, I was living in Miami when that mess happened where it was 2 million cars stuck on around the perimeter 285.
And a bigger catastrophe had not happened to Atlanta until Keith Lee came to town. Jesus.
Dang, maybe we should do a rant on that. I love Keith Lee so much.
I do too. My goodness.
Actually, that's
a celebration. Sometimes you gotta just air it out.
It's getting
them people out the paint, man.
Yo, it's getting flued Atlanta out the paint. Like, you can't be having
I didn't realize y'all had rules. Like, I say y'all because Sky's from there, but like, I didn't realize they had actual rules. The fuck?
It's the transplant.
It's a transplant. Like, the grass. Maybe having the grass and the neon lights and the little fixtures. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Keith Lee went out there and had like two places that gave him food the whole trip. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's because he was in Flutlanta. He wasn't in real Atlanta. It's different.
You gotta go to Buford Highway.
Yeah, you gotta go to Buford Highway, or you gotta know where to go in Atlanta to go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's places. I just know he goes to places where people tell him, so.
But they was telling them, actually, I mean,
that's on y'all people. Get your people together.
She ain't claiming them.
To do with the transplants? The fuck?
She said that's the new blacks.
Well, I'm just saying, someone should have got them right or something.
I was about to say something
crazy.
Don't be a brunching black. If you're going to be a brunching black, be inclusive.
Well, anyway, that's definitely where he was going, because that restaurant that tried to throw shade back at him, they were the bougie blacks for sure.
Yeah, and they were like ableist. Oh, like, good lord. Was,
oh my God. Oh, talking about, I know you, bitch? Come
talking on. About some custom. The only thing that matters is the food. Sorry.
Okay, focus. All right. Anyway. And then my other song,
yes.
Hey Tamia, new owner with
yes.
the man who you're married to.
That's a rave. Okay, don't do
Grant. Orlando Pride.
Damn.
I love Grant Hill. Don't do that.
Hey, Grant.
He's one
how
of the few good men I like. He's a good guy.
I'm a fan of Tamia. She's one of my favorite singers. You are.
She's an amazing singer.
But when I hear this song, it's Christmas time. Mm. Okay. Oh, shit.
Oh, I thought you were about to sing it with her. I was like, ooh, don't do that.
Why you gotta do that? Don't. That's not necessary. Why you gotta be like that? And then my other song is the Mistletoe Jam. Okay. By Lupa.
Lupa. Big Lupa.
The mistletoe. You ain't heard about the mistletoe jam? The mistletoe. Ooh.
Big Lupa. Oh, Lupa. Uncle. You mean Uncle. You mean Lupa. Oh. Lupa the Vandross.
Lupa Vandross.
Okay, yeah.
Ain't no Luke. Luke, can you imagine Luke?
Doing I feel like he did make a Christmas album. That's very
Uncle
possible.
Luke had to have made a Christmas album, right?
Probably did. Yeah. Probably
Run
made
DMC
a lot of.
Made a Christmas. That's right. That's an honorable mention.
Oh, I love Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my
actually. I would
jam.
Do TLC too. Sleigh Ride.
Oh yeah. Sleigh
Jingle
Ride.
Bells, Ringo Bells, all that.
I could definitely use a wallet full of cash from Santa for sure.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, Santa. If you want to pay off my student loans, holla at me.
I deferred that to Joe because he said we didn't have to do that. So
yeah, I'm deferred too until we'll try again in February. I'm gonna defer it again. We'll anyway,
Joe said I didn't have to pay that, so they should talk to Joe.
Yeah. So anywho, we're now entering the raves. Oh wait, well yeah, raving. Yeah. Shout out to the youngins who's balling, and even if you got a little bit seasoning, you got a little season on your chip. Jaden Shaw, Me Official, Listen Thompson, Trinity. Oh Lord, Trinity.
What?
Trinity Rodman.
What were we about to say? What?
Casey Kruger, Naomi Yerma. Y'all were balling. Y'all were out here. Y'all doing the thing. We see y'all.
Yes.
Continue to ball.
Yes.
And yeah, you got any more raves? Yes. Who else gets raves?
I was gonna say you mentioned it, but yeah, shout out to Tamia and Grant Hill. They're now owners of the Orlando franchises, so Orlando City and Orlando Pride. So that's very cool. I think they've been involved with sports in Orlando for a long time.
Yeah.
And I know Grant has a pretty big role with U.S. basketball too. So yeah, really good. Just really good people. Love seeing Black ownership come into the sport. So yeah, I wanted to shout that out. And then shout out to the costumes today. It is Halloween. Shout out to Kerry Washington. You nailed that one. Like, wonderfully done. And shout out to the Casey, Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
That was good.
The Casey
like
retweeted.
Yeah.
It was so cute. And I saw several photos of, particularly little girls, but little kids is different U.S. women's, national team players. So it's really cool.
Yeah, shout out to people who responded to the post on the Insta, on the not the Instagram, on the Twitters,
on the
sharing your little costumes. I'll retweet those.
Oh,
Re-X those, whatever it's called.
Re-X those, repost those.
Oh, God.
I'll retweet those.
Good luck to you all who said a whole lot of stuff in your circles. And now good luck to you. Good luck to those
circles
friendships.
Era. RIP.
Well, yes. And that's it. Well, so, Trevor, thank you for joining us again.
Yes.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I tried to keep it limited this time, not a 3-hour show.
Why?
Okay.
Do you have anything that you would like to share? Or you have any upcoming things?
What?
Go ahead.
No, nothing really to share. Nothing upcoming. Still have a lot of projects in the works for Angels on Parade. We do have, they're going to hear this tomorrow. We're going to have big news on Thursday. Announcements are being made. And so the offseason is officially underway for Angel City.
Let go.
So keep it locked on Angels on Parade, because you'll be seeing a lot of articles and a lot of other forms of content hitting there really soon.
Oh, I hope I'm on an episode. Because
there's a lot of imitators.
No, I'm gonna specifically make sure you're not. You're going to be like the Liga MX Femenil. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until you... have your 3 days at Chelsea first before I call you up.
Why you can't call me up? I'm ready. I have thoughts. I have so many thoughts that you hear weekly.
No, I know. But anyway, of course.
But what? Appreciate you. Oh, will you two be in San Diego?
Yeah.
Okay.
NWSL Championship, San Diego, November 11th. I'll be there.
About to be a party.
It's gonna be fun.
That's literally us next week.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Anywho,
yes.
Shout outs to everybody. Shout outs to the 2 Cents fam. Yes. Shout out to 2 Cents as a squad. Can I kick it? Dreaming of freedom. Speaking of dreaming of freedom, Black Karens, I got your kit. That's fine. Ooh. FTC United, all 50 billion of y'all. Kaya Esquire, Walker 90. Oh, shout out also to Diaspora United, the tall ones, including Mr. Tall. He's about as tall as Wimba.
Yes. So, shout out for the Wimba.
Shout out to Andre. Yeah. I'm sorry, Andre. Amazing. Not really. But yeah, shout out to Courtney.
He's going to quit all of us one day. We'll just
basketball player. Height. Hey, I thought she was going to actually put him on top of like the Statue of Liberty statue thing.
She did. She put him in Kansas City Stadium.
Also oh, yeah, that's funny. True. Shout out to Liz for the Kansas City. He is that tall. Shout out to the street team. All y'all.
Yes.
Olivia, Georgia, JG, Alex, Alexandria, Ebony, Navidad, Supercario, Maya. Shout out to all y'all. And a shout out to our patrons. What's up?
Is you Genubia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My fault.
And a shout out to sponsors, patrons, patrons. Grandpa Sports and Carolyn Nadels and everybody.
Yes.
I hope you liked our little episodes. More stuff to come.
Yes.
I think we're recording something this week. I think. Yes. Maybe. And then other than that.
NWSL season wrapping up. No.
NWSL season's wrapping up. Somebody's gonna win this weekend and we'll see them too in San Diego.
Y'all will know how I feel before we record next.
So. Oh yeah. I should probably mention that too.
What's up?
The folks over at Shades of Blue podcast were doing a watch along. For the
shout out to Shades of
Blue. NWSL playoffs. Yeah, NWSL playoffs. So I will be there if you wanted to come watch, hang out with
what game are they watching?
They were there for the World Cup too, so it's familiar faces.
Yeah, no, they've been doing some really dope stuff. I think they just did
been.
Something.
And they've been trying to
Plantain Show and
they've been trying to do more in the women's soccer space, especially for NWSL.
Yeah,
so
Krunk helping them out. Krunk was with us during the World Cup. So wait, are they watching the Wave?
The rain.
Wave and rain. Yeah,
I know that for sure. It might be both, but I know that one for sure on Sunday. Okay. I believe it is, right?
Both games are Sunday.
That'll be that one.
So,
gonna be there, Sills, or no?
I am not going because I'm going to watch a U team. I'm actually going to watch a U team this Saturday that I'm really excited about. Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought I had to get that in the last second. Thank you.
I do put myself in the community. Better than some of your teams.
Wow. Yeah. That's real. Stop being performative teams and people. We'll leave it at that. We will get on. We will roast that later. But anywho, shout out to not shout out to. I forgot what I was gonna say. I'm having lady moment. But yeah, thank you, Trevor, for coming through. We appreciate you. We see you, we hear you. Yay.
Yes.
Thank you. Wow, I don't even know where that went. But anywho, what are we gonna do? We're gonna stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
We're gonna make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And there we go. And so, Falcons, don't embarrass me, Georgia Tech. Oh, wait a minute. Shout out to y'all for winning games that y'all shouldn't. Maybe y'all go to a ball this year. Shout out to everybody. And go sports. Go teams. Go. Yay. Everybody say bye.
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 Bye. Fall in place, you know I'm hoping they line up.